Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Roth.
Are you doing the simple things? Maybe you have a complex concept of theology. Maybe you are all involved in serving God in different ways. But are you confessing your sins to him? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Yeah, that's not all there is to life, but you won't have life without doing those basic things. And I think we all need to be reminded often to think with a fresh way, hey, if my life's going to get better, I'm going to have to think differently. That's repentance. I'm going to have to put away my prejudices and my preconceived notions, and I just want to do what he shows me to do, no matter how silly it may sound.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We're going through the Bible, looking at various Bible stories as we do. Right now on The Balanced Word. Glad you could make it today. Pastor Dave Rolfe will open up 2 Kings chapter 5 if you want to find your place there now. Today's Bible story features a Syrian general who discovered a simple relationship with God. You know, we often overcomplicate things, don't we? And that can sometimes happen in our walk with the Lord. Pastor Dave will first show us how preconceived notions can become a real problem, and so we need to be aware of them.
I see several things in this story that definitely apply to the way we live our lives. The first one is which you got to be aware of preconceived notions. See, for Naaman, he had an idea of how he thought God was going to work. And he almost missed being healed because he thought that the prophet would have to be there personally and would have to wave his hand and would have to say the right words. And then he would be healed. He knew that's the way magic worked in Syria. But obviously their magic hadn't worked. But he figures, when I come to Israel, that's what healing is going to look like. But God chose to do it in a different sort of way. And he almost missed the opportunity because of preconceived notions. Preconceived notions are those things that we presume or we assume. And we build a framework around which everything that happens should fit into that pattern. There's a writer, Mary Brown, who said, preconceived notions are the locks on the door to wisdom. And it's so true. If we are going to discover wisdom, we have to eliminate all of our preconceived notions. Now, you know, in every field, we have preconceived notions, patterns that we expect to find. In science, you can build a framework by making certain assumptions, and then you test your hypothesis based on, you know, the evidence that's there. So in the past, it was thought that certainly the universe revolves around the earth because it just feels like that. It seems like that. So they were making the preconceived notion that the earth was the center of the universe. They could even find Bible verses that would seem to support it. But gradually, when people like Copernicus and others said, no, it's not, we're actually revolving around the sun and who knows what's out beyond there. Oh, people flipped out. They thought they were ready to try him for heresy because he was going against our preconceived notions. But in science, it's so important to not assume a bunch of things and then try to interpret in light of that. I think it's the same way with us and how we interpret the scriptures. We need to be careful that we not bring our preconceived notions and interpret everything in light of that. You then have to start bending data in order to fit your preconceived notions. And we do that in all fields of study, really. We do that in our treating of people. You meet someone or you hear of someone, you look at them, and immediately you make certain assumptions about them and who they are. I remember Pastor Chuck talking about when he first met J. Vernon McGee. And he had listened to Dr. McGee for years. He said when he finally saw him, he goes, "That's J. Vernon McGee? Red hair?" You know, because they didn't have video and things like that back then. And he just had that assumption. And then I watched over the years as people would come to Calvary Chapel for the first time after listening to Chuck's tapes. And they would go, wow, you don't look like what we thought you'd look like. And he would say, oh, what'd you think I'd look like? I don't know, like a surfer, a young surfer or something. Oh, no. You know, he would say, and now I have people do that. They come here and they say, oh, it's our first time here. We listen to you on the radio and you look different than we thought. And I go, really, what'd you think I'd look like? And almost always they go, we thought you were a lot younger. And I don't take offense to that at all, because what it says is, at least I sound relevant. And I've always known I have a good face for radio. So it's like, I'm totally cool with that. But sometimes we see something and we jump to certain conclusions. Back when I had my martial arts studio years ago, there's a guy who was partnered with me in it named Chris Romero. He does security at Calvary Chapel Westgrove now. But Chris Romero was the best fighter I've ever known. He was an amazing fighter. But he didn't look like it. He just looked like a dumpy, fat Mexican guy. And he didn't care. He didn't mind that. And he worked in plaster and paint. And so he just didn't look like what you would think, wow, this guy's a fighter. One time there was a pastor who at the time was back in Colorado named Justin Alfred, who pastored at Calvary Chapel back there. Justin was a big, ripped guy. He played football at Mississippi State, and he just loved working out. So he was out for a pastor's conference, and he came to my studio. And he's like looking around and, you know, acting tough. And Chris walked up. And Chris like had paint all over him and plaster on his hands. And he goes, oh, you know, Justin, what are you doing? Justin's like, yep, well, I do jujitsu and I do karate. And Chris's like, oh, that's great. And he says, you want to do some sparring? I could teach you a few things. Chris that year had won the international grand championship. Justin was a brown belt. And so I go, oh, boy. And then Chris says to Justin, he goes, well, I mean, you got a cup on? And Justin goes, famous last words, he goes, oh, I won't be needing no cup, trust me. So I walk out of the room, and then I hear, oh! And I go in there, and Justin's on the ground in a fetal position, and there's this fat Mexican just looking down at him. Like. But life is that way. Assumptions, presumptions, they're dangerous. And we shouldn't get in our minds a particular way that we expect things to be, because those presumptuous assumptions that we make, those preconceived notions, can end up robbing us. If you start, you know, deciding who you're going to try to spend your life with based on how someone looks on the exterior or how they treat you when you meet them, you don't even know them yet. And it can be a lot different than what you think it is. Many of you have found that out. Some of you survived, some of you didn't. But, you know, we can't jump to conclusions. And Naaman's preconceived notions almost caused him to miss being healed. Well, he didn't say what I thought. He didn't even come out. He didn't do this and didn't wave his hand. So that's something that I think we certainly need to be reminded of. There's another thing related to that, though, and that is, don't despise simple answers. Now, there isn't a simple answer to everything, but, you know, how hard was it to dip in the Jordan 7 times? He almost didn't do it because he thought that this would be something more fancy, that it wouldn't be just going dip in the river without even seeing the prophet. That's, you know, that seems crazy. That's so easy. There's a concept they use it in history and philosophy and science and everything else called Occam's razor. There's a guy named William of Ockham back in the 13th century who came up with this idea. And he said, when you have multiple hypotheses, try the simplest, most obvious one first. Don't jump to things that are more complicated, because you can test the simple one and you'll get your answers and you can eliminate the simple one. When I was a kid, I loved working on cars and things like that from when I was a little kid. And I remember I had this 56 Ford. I was like 15 years old. And I was working on it, and the radio wouldn't work. So I knew how to test a radio. I pulled the radio out. I had test equipment, antique stuff. Today, you can't even work on things at the component level. You just swap boards. But, you know, I tested every resistor, every capacitor, the power supply, everything I'm testing. That thing, I spent a couple of weeks working on this thing, learning how radio works and everything else. You know what it was? The fuse. The fuse was blown. I didn't even test that. And so often, life is kind of that way. If we skip over the simple things and get to the complex, we end up causing ourselves so many problems. And for Naaman, it was like, if you don't do this simple thing and you want to go back and try to find some more highfalutin method, that's kind of crazy. Try the simple stuff first. We do this in life. And if you think about it, everybody here wants to be healthy. But you basically know if you want to be healthy, you need to eat right. You need to get enough sleep, drink enough water, and get a little exercise. Now, I think we all know that. But we don't want to hear that. It's not hard to do that. But we don't want to do that. So we would rather spend a whole bunch of money on like supplements and thousands of vitamins and be pounding these things down. And every time we see an infomercial, we're like, I need that too. And I want to do that too. And I think, you know, this will happen. And maybe if I look better, I'll feel better. So I get cosmetic surgery and all this stuff. And it's like, how about just put the burger away? How about just take a walk a little bit? You park a little further in the parking lot and walk out there. And that's so simple, and yet it's the key to health, and we know it, but sometimes we don't want to do it. Instead, we want to buy some electronic contraption or a mechanical contraption, like the little sled that slides up and down on the thing, and you lay on it and pull on these ropes, and you're like, well, it's what made Chuck Norris who he is. No, it's what made Chuck Norris rich. It's not what made Chuck Norris who he is. But we would rather buy junk like that than to just go and skip the shake after the meal. And so it's the same kind of way. We're like, okay, yeah, I know that. It's the same way in your relationships. It's like, yeah, we're having a lot of problems in our family. And our marriage is really deteriorating. So, I mean, you can go off and study books and get lots of counseling and help. And that may help you. But you know, if you aren't nice to the person you're married to, none of that other stuff's going to work. So how about starting there? You'd be surprised how much your life changes if you're just nice to each other. And yet we always want to look past the simple and move toward the more complex because it just seems like, you know, it can't be just because of that. But here from Naaman, we learn that. I know it sounds simple, but maybe it's a key. Maybe it's going to do the trick. Now, we always get down on Christians who act like, if you just read your Bible and pray, everything will be fine. Because it's certainly not true that if you just read your Bible and pray, everything's going to be fine. You'll never be depressed. You'll never have, you know, problems at work or anything else. It takes more than that. But it doesn't take less than that. And so how foolish if you aren't reading your Bible and praying. Again, don't assume that's all it's going to take. But what would it hurt to actually do that? To just spend time with God and read his word and tell him what's going on in your life? Those are the basics. If we don't do the basics, we can't then go, okay, what else? Give me the advanced course. Naaman learned that. Just do the basics. And I mean, if he had dipped 7 times and he still had leprosy, now you go back to Elisha and go, okay, I did that, now what? Maybe it's a, you know, multiple-step process, but don't skip the simple things in order to advance to more things. And then in conjunction with that, too, I think, why did Naaman get so mad? I mean, partly he was feeling like, I have my hopes up and this isn't going to happen. But partly you get the feeling that he thought, I should be respected. I'm an important general of a country that could wipe these guys out. How dare you treat me like this? How dare you not come out and respect me? And then tell me to go slop around in the muck of the Jordan River? I won't be treated this way. He was worried about how he looked. Now, maybe at this point when he's like, I'm not going to do that. I would look stupid doing that. Maybe his servants are like, Naaman, have you noticed your skin's falling off? Oh, your ear just dropped off. You're worried about how you look to people? Eleanor Roosevelt said, we wouldn't worry so much about what people think of us if we realized how seldom they actually do think of us. And it's true, but for us, so often we can be blinded to obvious things if we're living our lives just thinking, what will that make me look like? It doesn't matter. Do what you're supposed to do. however it makes you look. What it makes you look like is somebody who's smart enough to try the basics, to break the pattern of your preconceived notions, see what God's going to do. And he will not let you just get humiliated for no reason. He'll be there with you. And then finally, the story of Gehazi reminds us, it's not all about profit. It's not all about greed. It's not all about getting as much as you can. It's about getting what you can in the right way. Elisha felt like this is not the time for me to get rich off something that God does for a foreigner. I want to show him by witness that I did this because of God and that God did it. It's not me. And that this isn't just a scam, because this guy would know all sorts of healers who would take money from you and try to work concoctions out so that you get better. And Elisha wanted to be different than that. And I think it's an important reminder for us to be careful that we not become driven by a lust and greed. Whatever I can get is okay. There's a golfer right now who, and I don't know if he's guilty or not, but he's being charged with insider trading. This guy makes millions and millions and millions of dollars golfing. He gets paid millions of dollars for wearing a shirt and a hat and using a club and a ball and everything else. And yet he got involved in this investment of options in a shady way, probably through information from a gambling associate, and he's risked his freedom over something like that, and he has so much money. And yet you go, what were you thinking? What you were thinking was, if I can make money, this is a good thing. That's Gehazi. He's like, what would it hurt? Here's an opportunity that's going to waste. Somebody's going to cash in on it. I might as well. It's important for us not to be blinded by potential gain so that we then compromise. If Elisha wasn't going to take the money, Gehazi shouldn't have. And he knew that Elisha didn't want to do it because he tried to hide it from Elisha. One time, Pastor Chuck, on a Sunday morning, he goes, hey, Dave, look at this. It was after second service. And he said, I met a girl in line who works at an expensive tailor shop over here by South Coast Plaza. And she gave me these. And it's two tickets, two coupons, each of them for a $2,000 tailor-made suit. And if you knew Chuck, Chuck did not wear tailor-made suits. He bought $50 double-knit suits that would just look horrible. And usually for weeks, he would wear the same suit. And it had baby barf down the back of it, because when he dedicated babies and they would throw up, he wouldn't even get his suit cleaned. And they didn't fit. And so I go, wow, $2,000 suits, what are you going to do? He goes, oh. And he threw them in the trash. And I went, I grabbed for the trash. And he grabbed my hand, and he took them out of my hand, and he tore them up. And it was like, I felt like Gehazi at that moment. You know, at least I didn't get leprosy, so that's cool. But it's like, no, I'm not going to cash in, and I don't want you to either. And that's an important lesson, I think, for all of us to remember as we look at our lives. Now, you know, there might be some of you here today who have never actually entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know you've heard about it. I mean, maybe you've gone to church for a long time. Maybe everybody assumes that you're a Christian, but you've never come to the point where you just said, I need to take a simple step of faith by receiving Jesus Christ, allowing him to forgive my sins, and saying that I want to live my life for him. Like Naaman, I want to go, from now on, he's the only God in my life, and I'll do what I need to do, but I'm always going to be worshiping him. If you haven't done that, you know, life's not working for you. You are sick. You're unhealthy in some ways. If you're unhealthy, I don't know all the complicated reasons why your life is struggling, but what I know is this. The simplest thing for you to do is to receive the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. Start there. He'll be with you dealing with all the other junk that's in your life, but it starts right there. And if you haven't done that, you can do it today. You can. You can just go, okay, I've actually, you know, read Christian books and I listen to Christian teaching and I try to be good. But I'm just asking you, have you just done that simple act of stepping out into the Jordan River and going, I'm starting life over. The old me is going to be dead and the new me is going to rise. Have you taken that step of faith? If you haven't, start there. back up to the most simple, basic concept that there is in life, and that is Jesus Christ going to be the leader of your life, or are you going to be? If you can't bring yourself to do that, well, I love you. You're just not ready. You're not ready to get well. Getting well involves something called repentance. Repentance means you start thinking differently. If you want your life to be different than it is, something's going to have to change. Or you can look at the options and just go, nah, I guess it just didn't work. Listen, don't ever believe that your life just didn't work or that you're just destined to be a miserable person. Get back to square one. Give your life to him. You'd be amazed what else he will do. Step B will be awesome, but get step A out of the way first. So today, after the service, there will be people down here who would love to pray with you and help you to take that first step. If you're not sure if you've done it or not, or you go, yeah, I kind of did it, but I don't know if I meant it, start here. Start now. And then see what simple steps God ends up giving you to simply obey him. And see what that does to your life. You'll be amazed how much of the crud in your life gets healed from just taking those basic steps. And for the rest of us who have already given our lives to Jesus Christ, are you doing the simple things? Maybe you have a complex concept of theology. Maybe you are all involved in serving God in different ways. But are you confessing your sins to him? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Yeah, that's not all there is to life, but you won't have life without doing those basic things. And I think we all need to be reminded often to think with a fresh way, hey, if my life's going to get better, I'm going to have to think differently. That's repentance. I'm going to have to put away my prejudices and my preconceived notions, and I just want to do what he shows me to do, no matter how silly it may sound. I just want that fresh relationship with him, and I pray for you and for me that this week will be a week of us simplifying things, getting back to the essence of what it is to be his children and to walk with him. Let's clear the complications. Let's get rid of the preconceived notions. And let's just simply follow him as he leads us.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Well, let's finish things up in a word of prayer now.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for recording this story of a Syrian general who discovered a simple relationship with you. Lord, we're sorry for when we, through our preconceived notions, complicate a walk with you. I know there are probably some people here today who have rejected you because you didn't do what they thought you would. Because you didn't measure up to their expectations, they've headed back to Syria without being touched and healed by you. Lord, I pray that you would help them to open their lives to just say, this is really simple, but I am willing to allow Jesus Christ to be my leader in my life and to forgive my sins. Lord, by your Spirit, please draw them to yourself. And for all of us, help us to live more simple lives in obedience to you, knowing that though you will often surprise us, that what you tell us to do, if we do it, is life-changing, is healing. So show us our blind spots, show us our preconceived notions, and set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Four kings who were also four dads. That's coming up next time on The Balanced Word when Dave Rolfe will share another Bible story. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play.